You're listening to Talk Radio at the Talk of Mulberry.
Talk Radio X, it's Friday, episode 96, Nowhere in Mulberry. How's everybody doing? Steven, the pop culture zealot, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, I'm tired from typing up all those notes there.
Yeah, Steven doing notes for the show. Also we have here is Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Why in the world did you have to play that Wally music? Now I'm all sad.
Bill, we were cutting it close there, weren't we?
Yeah, sorry. Little computer issue. Sorry.
No problem. Hey, we made it. That's all that matters. That's why we
have... Yeah, I dialed in, 1 minute before we went live?
Hey, all that matters is that we're here and we're on time, and that's why we have intros, so we can, like, get ready.
Not queer and get used to it.
Huh? Did I miss something? What?
I said we're not queer. Get used to it.
Yes. Huh?
We're here.
Stop it.
I'll kick your ass.
How's everybody doing? Hello, nimchat.com. Nice for you guys to join us. We got a full house tonight. Shout out to everybody. Man, let's see. We got Will Starstrom. That would be my wife, I'm guessing, because hockey season started. Redler, Radio Dan, Mulberry Bill. Hey, wait, Mulberry Bill. Hey, you're in there. JSR.
I am.
Shout out to the Jstrom. Hey, that's me. Golf Nut 5. He's the fifth Golf Nut. Glenn, Don Chep, Credo, Classy Ass is back. And Antubert.
Classy Ass.
Got such a classy ass. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening live. How's it going? Hope you had a good week. We're here to talk about favorite shows. And, Bill, I got to say, I'm a little thrown for a loop because Friday Night Lights is on at 8 o'clock on Friday. So we have to start the show, like, right when it ends. And what an ending to that episode. What the hell is going on?
I know. After I watched it a few weeks ago, I was like, oh, shit. They're not going to be doing this the entire season, are they?
Well, here's...
Like, I was really worried for these characters. Like, oh, no, just call the police. Do what you have to do.
I kept telling Steven, please. I was like, are they... They're going to call the police, right? Are they not going to call the police? Basically, the whole they go from you hoping Landry gets in good with Tyra, maybe makes out with her or something,
it's
starts
like
dating her.
He was going to get a little cop a feel real quick, you know?
And all of a sudden, it goes bad, real bad, and it's like, I have a feeling what I love about this show is it's so unpredictable, and I guarantee you, whatever we're thinking is going to happen isn't going to happen.
Because Landry was right there. Yeah, my dad's a cop. We need to call the police.
He's going to tell his dad, like, that night. There's no way he's going to be able to keep that a secret.
You know what I think is going to happen is that he's going to tell his dad, and then Tyra is going to hate him. You know, it's going to be like right back to square one again.
Right.
Him.
But she's got something in her brain that's not working where she doesn't trust anybody. When some guy is following you around town and stalking you, you need to call the police. You need to not ignore it the whole time.
I was shocked by that. I thought maybe it was in her head the way they are playing it the entire episode.
Right.
And then when he shows up and you see that car in the background, it's just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, and by the way, we're talking about Friday Night Lights. I don't even know if I mentioned that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a great show. But, man, what a premiere there. It threw me for a loop. All of a sudden, it's like, you know, it's just kind of, hey, this is what happened over the summer. And all of a sudden, boom.
At the beginning, I thought they were going to try to play it, with the swimming pool, kind of do all the, you know, sex it up a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
They said, I love how, what's his face?
You know, I thought they would play it like a little more 90210-ish when it started, you know, but try and keep that, you know, but you know what I'm saying? It's like,
thank God there's no peach pit.
No, not like that, but, you know, it's...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Make it more revolve around the kids and, you know, and pop up the sex a little bit more, trying to get more attention to the show, but they kept to their roots.
Coach's daughter was trying to sex it up.
Right,
with,
right. That's what I'm saying.
The Swedish guy.
Yeah, what was that? I love the Swedish guy. Everyone calls him. What's this going on with
the
Swedish
Swede?
Guy? I love the dad. What's going on with the Swedish guy? She's like, I don't have to talk to you about that. But also I love what Tyra's gone all Jesus on us. Like her
Lila.
She's in the Christ Teen Messengers.
is that some sort of cult?
Yeah, I love Riggins. Goes, what is that, some kind of cult? She gives him a look.
Oh, great. Redler's setting off the chat room. He just said hockey blows. Dude, calm down, please. Enjoy the show. Don't piss anyone off, please.
Hey, and what I love is Riggins, I guess, has gone back to the drink, Bill. He's drinking
again.
He's
never stopped, really, has he?
I guess not, but now he's hard drinking. No wonder he has such a hard time at practice, because he's all dehydrated. He's like...
he's puking his guts out.
I love that. That actor, I can't even pinpoint what movies he's been in, but the guy who plays the new coach, Bill, he's such an excellent actor at playing that kind of character.
It's awesome. I just don't know his name. He's a character actor that I've seen in a million things.
Right. But, hey, Friday Night Lights is back. And we're talking about it in the first segment.
it
was on top of my head.
It always strayed from the cliched stuff, so it probably go where we think it's going.
Right.
It never does.
Like, I doubt they're going to bring in, next week there will be a detective. He's snooping around asking questions or something.
Oh,
Horatio shows up.
Oh no!
Well, we got us a small town. We got us a murder, small town style. Wow! Down. Love it. Now, Steven, we wanted to call you on the lunchtime show, but you were busy. What's going on?
Oh, it was just a terrible bad week with all the Phillips big wigs at the hospital. So.
That's the brand Phillips, right?
Yes, Phillips Medical Equipment.
Is that the
same company? That's what I install, by the way.
Is that the same company with the 1L?
Just the 1L, not the 2L. That's the gasoline company.
Aren't they Norwegian?
They're German.
German?
Yeah.
I knew that
the equipment's
like
from Germany.
Years ago, somebody broke into the corporate headquarters and shot it up because his TV went bad in like Norway or something.
Yeah, the corporate headquarters is in Germany. For the medical side. The TV stuff might be in Norway. Their headquarters. Who knows?
Now, guys, I got to ask you something. My birthday's 2 weeks. 2 weeks on a Friday. Do you guys think we should do a show?
That's your call.
On a Friday? That's your call, man.
No, here's what I was thinking. It's my birthday, so here's the reason I'm even bringing this up, because preparation goes in hand for the show if we do it. But what if we did a call-in-only show or something, like something like that? I don't know.
That could be a disaster.
Yeah, it could. I don't know. I'm playing with ideas. I'll get back to you next week, but I'm just thinking of ideas and stuff.
Why don't we do a call-in show where no one calls?
Yeah. All right, with call-in show. Hey, it's my wife. Thanks for calling in. Call my dad, quick. Tell him to call in, too. And get my grandma to call in while you're at it. Now, Steven, we actually got a voicemail, and it's kind of directed at you, so
uh-oh.
I think I should play
it's good.
Yeah, let's check it out.
Hello. This is Elder Bailey from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I was just wondering if you fellows from Mulberry would like to have a copy of the Book of Mormon, for I feel it would be a very good addition to your town. And right now we're running a special offer for $495. You'll get it in hardback. But we do have
expensive.
A free copy, slightly used, that I'd be glad to give to that heathen Stephen. So if
heathen
you're interested,
Stephen.
I'll call you back. Thank you.
Wow, that's a generous offer there. It's a used
Actually,
book
I
of
wrote
Mormon.
My own Book of Mormon.
I collect
my
Bibles from hotels across the country. So
but isn't that just the Gideon? Hey, that's an interesting idea. In Utah, what Bible is in the hotel?
Gideon's.
It is. It's not the Book of Mormon.
They don't,
I cracked
well,
one
the
open
Book of
the
Mormon
other day, and I started laughing.
Say that again, Bill.
The Book of Mormon is an accompaniment to the Bible. So,
oh, I gotcha.
You know,
so
there should be both.
So it should be Gideon on top in the bottom drawer. Oh, Book of Mormon's down here. That's interesting.
But
very
yeah,
interesting.
No, I'll pass, thanks.
You're going to pass on his generous offer?
Are you going back to Utah anytime soon, Stephen?
For the next 3 weeks.
Good Lord, man.
You know, do you have a black pants, white shirt, and a black tie?
No, actually I don't.
Shoot. You need to get them so then you can go and
get
some
magic
Mormon
underwear.
Undergarments. You can't walk in and say, I want magic underwear.
You know what's funny is
I need some undergarments.
There's a YouTube video where a guy buys the magic underwear. And what's
he calls it magic underpants.
Magic underpants. But it's like a t-shirt and bloomers is what it looks like. But what I didn't realize is I watched Big Love, and there's an episode where Bill Paxton's character goes back to the compound he grew up on. And in the middle of the night, you see him wearing those underpants. And I was like, oh, that's what they look like. Because the women are all wearing them, too, in the middle of the night. But they never call attention to it on the show. But that's interesting how they make sure to show that. But they don't call attention to it. That must have been take some restraining on the show. Like, oh, we're not going to mention it. We're going to show them wearing it, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's all subliminal, if you want to call it that. You know, it's there, but in the background, you know.
Yeah, but there is a part where he gets shot and the bullet bounces off of him. Oh, cool.
And a bear attack.
I want that on Smallville.
He's
Super Mormon.
You know, he gets the fresh squirt milk, you know, and it spills and it doesn't stain him or anything.
Fresh squirt milk?
Who knows?
Milk. What the hell is he in a stable with a bunch of cows?
They're more, you know, hell. Yeah, if he's out there,
it's not Amish.
Cow,
they don't have horses in Utah, do they?
Yeah.
Hey, let's.
So. Anyway,
here's what we're gonna do, Bill. We run out of time every week on the show. This time, we're gonna blow through stuff, and we're gonna give you a full DVD and news segment, and not rush you. What do you say?
Oh no!
Let's okay. get this train rolling. It's time for entertainment. Now, I keep reading reviews of this new Ben Stiller flick. First of all, I love the Farrelly brothers. I love Kingpin, Something About Mary. But I don't know about it. We talked about this a little yesterday, Bill. It doesn't look funny, the Heartbreak Kid.
I am so sick and tired of Ben Stiller, just oversaturation, and it just doesn't appeal to me at all.
How sick is everybody of pratfalls in movie in trailers? Not
in
just
trailers.
And I'm going to be sexist here. I'm sick of female pratfalls in trailers. They always show the chick, like the Jessica Alba, running into a pole, or it's not funny. I don't get it.
Well, I mean, I guess
I kind of see that.
They kind of did that with the Cameron Diaz and Something About Mary with the hairdo thing, you know.
Yeah, but she never ran into. A
I know,
hole.
But I'm just saying. But that's kind of her pratfall for
the
that,
semen
for that,
hairdo, for that. Stephen.
Yes, thank you.
It's called semen. It's not just a hairdo.
That's a bad word.
Oh,
it is dippity do.
Dippity do.
Yeah, I got nothing.
And Aquanet.
But, Bill, yesterday we were talking about Michael Clayton, and I was like, what's that? And so I read about it today, and, just the few things I read, I'm like, damn, I want to go see that. Because it's the directorial debut of Tony Gilroy. Who's Tony Gilroy, you may ask?
Sir Tony Gilroy?
He is the screenwriter to all the Jason Bourne flicks. And I'm a huge fan of those films. I got to see this movie. I've always been a Clooney fan. I've never had a problem with Clooney. And I think Clooney's a good director, too. He's a talented guy. Especially going way back to Facts of Life. He was great on that.
Yeah, I loved whenever he played Joe's beard.
It took me a second.
Joe was a lesbian, you know.
Wow. Yeah,
she was like, I will pay you $5 a week to be my boyfriend. He's like, sounds good. I remember,
hey,
you know
it's
what?
An acting gig.
George Clooney.
Upstairs with Tootie giving a lickety split.
Huh?
What? Oh, never mind.
You know what's funny is George Clooney, he didn't used to be a good actor. I think he's turned into one. He used to do this little smile kind of head bob thing.
On Roseanne,
like
when
on
he was
ER.
On there.
Yeah. And I remember reading that Steven Soderbergh, when he directed Out of Sight, he was like, I'm not going to let you use any of your tools, any of your things you rely on anymore. All your little things I'm going to call you out on. And I really think he got him to shake all those acting...
The gimmicks.
Acting gimmicks he does, head bob, smile. Because I remember MST did this thing where they were making fun of summer movie trailers, and they were doing Batman and Robin. And there was a scene where it's him talking to Elle McPherson or something in the movie, and they were like, they were sitting there watching, they go, head bob, smile, smile, head bob, smile, smile, head bob. And they're doing, they're like counting it. And I was like, it's true. That's what he does. That's his acting. All he does is smile and bob his head. It was weird, but he's shaking it. It's awesome. And I think he's a great, great actor, and I can't wait to see this. So,
yes, I enjoy his work.
When are we going to go see it?
Never. Wait, what? No, I think maybe I'll wait for a rental.
Hey, what studio does this, Bill?
I'm not sure. I think it's Paramount Vantage, actually.
Hey, did anybody see, I just rented on Netflix, The Lookout with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, where he plays the guy who's been in a horrible car accident, and he's got...
I know which one you're talking about, where he was the hockey player, blah, blah.
And he's kind of like persuaded to help these guys rob a bank. It's really...
Yeah,
Memento. It's really, you know, kind of, not really...
I'm just saying.
You know. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I have the Blu-ray of it.
I see what you're saying, Steven. How does it look, Bill?
It looks great, because it was shot with that new Genesis HD system.
Nice.
Just like Apocalypto and something else was. It looks tremendous. Looks really, really good.
Damn, I watched that standard def.
Damn. That's because you're a punk.
Damn. Well, what do you say, guys? Go see that movie and tell me what you think. Michael Clayton. I gotta say, though,
it comes out this weekend, right?
Yeah, I gotta say, though, that's a bad title. Michael Clayton. Who the hell's that? At first, I was like, is it a sequel to Michael Collins, but he changed his name? Or Mary Riley? What else? It's just like...
Just a name movie.
Veronica
Guerin.
Yeah, why do they make movies like that? The only movie that works like that is like Robin Hood.
Yeah, because people know who that is.
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes.
I'm sure Veronica Guerin worked really well overseas because, you know, she was a reporter over there. But nobody knows who she is here, and nobody knows the story behind it.
Yeah.
And so it works well for a true story, but... Who, you know, Michael Clayton, it's like, oh, that
who?
Guy?
Who? Let's go
I know
ahead.
Him.
Let's get into what's on our TiVo and let's talk some TV. Let's do it. All right, we got Beauty and the Geek, Bill. Have you been watching that?
I have.
Now, you were telling me...
I watch it every week. You know it.
You were telling me that you were a little disappointed with it this year. What's going on with
it? I am. I'm kind of pissed off with it because I really liked it the first two seasons. And this season, they're like, the experiment has evolved. So they added a dude beauty and a geek girl. And the geek girl, they've obviously picked because they're going to fix her up and she's going to look good and everything. And the guy beauty's just a douchebag. I mean, just incredible.
He's what they
dick.
Call a himbo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a total himbo. Like, he makes that pucker face and is always checking his arms and takes an hour to get ready and everything.
He does the pout.
He does the pout.
Like Zoolander.
It does. He is totally Zoolander. And it's kind of like thrown a wrench into the works because it's all about the beauties getting to know the guy geeks.
Right.
And
now
you know, learning who they are and what they do. And this guy beauty comes in, and now he's like taking the attention away from the geeks and putting the beauties' attention on him. Like he is already involved with one of the beauties. Like she's all upset because he's there and she needs to get back in the game and concentrate on her partner and all this, but she's off in the friggin' closet getting screwed by this guy.
What?
Yeah, literally. I mean, either they were dry. It was really convincing dry humping, or they were going at it.
So basically,
in this last episode,
before the season even began, it was all in Ashton Kutcher's head, just running around like, yeah, good idea.
See, they should have done it
like
just reverse.
I'd like
of what
to take
they...
a friggin' nine iron to his head.
Well, I caught this glimpse of it, this clip I'm about to play, and it was a truth or dare.
A glimpse of it?
A glimpse of it, and it looks pretty...
A clip glance, huh?
Basically, this chick is going to, I guess, give a geek a lap dance, and he doesn't know what to do with himself. Let's check it out.
I kind of walked into truth or dare. It was William's turn to dare Rebecca to do something, so his dare was to give me a little booty dance or something.
I like that music.
It was very awkward. I didn't know where to look.
I know where to look.
What do you mean?
Jeez,
he
bloody.
Just kind of looked down like, this is naughty.
Why is my... What's going on?
I have TiVo'd this.
My
I haven't
shorts.
Seen it yet. I was going to watch
Steven,
it.
What are you doing? Sit down. What are you doing?
What are you looking at?
It's getting hot in her.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just they tried to rip it off, but they couldn't. So they.
It's like the generic version.
it is.
The pod-safe version.
It's the pod-safe version of it. It's
well,
getting hot in here.
Another show I'm not watching is The Bachelor. And what I love about this is every time The Bachelor is around and the chicks go in heat, apparently... When they're around each other,
they are, man. They are totally in heat. They're crazy.
Well, what's funny is what they do is when they talk to each other, they talk about their values. Like, I'm a Christian, you know, I believe in good family values. And then they get around this guy, they're like, let's go skinny dipping. It's just pretty funny. Let's check it out. And of course, all the other girls, whoever is
I'm a
most...
Hindi, I believe in Ganesh.
Yeah.
What's
I want
that?
A body shot.
Body shot.
To see that I'm a free spirit, and I thought, what better way than to make him
there
take
is no
a
better
shot
way.
Off of me?
So,
yeah, why not become Tara Reid?
Seeing Brad get a body shot off Scalise, so it was really hard for me to watch. Woo! I was like, oh my god, I think I'm gonna throw up.
But you know, hey, if that's who she is and she's fun and wild, great. Show me the real you.
I'm a Christian.
Okay.
And morals and values are very important to me. Have always been issues in other relationships, but I usually stick to my morals and values.
Usually.
As a matter of fact. What?
We all kind of looked at each other in the hot tub and none of us moved.
Yeah, like, what's she talking about values in the hot tub for?
Yes, hi, I'm a frigid bitch, and my legs are closed to you.
So what's
just
funny,
don't even bother with me. Kick me off next episode.
Yeah,
thank
what's
you.
Funny about all that is that she says I'm usually real timid, but
usually.
I'm on TV now.
Yeah. What's crazy, though, is that the guy is like, oh, okay, if she's like that, I'll do a body shot off of her. He should be the exact opposite. He should be like, listen, you know, I don't want to degrade these women. I don't want to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
I'm a good guy. I'm looking for a good woman.
Hey, I don't go for this lady.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's like, okay, let me suck some alcohol out of your belly button.
No, hey, I'm not going to drink that. Here's a cup. This is a sanitary.
Is that very
sanitary?
You swap that thing with alcohol first? I don't want to get any lint.
Come on, let's go on a picnic, girls. What is this all about? Hot tub? No way.
Skinny dipping? What do you mean? No, everybody keep their clothes on.
Yeah, this is...
Hot tubs make my stomach hurt.
Yeah. Hot tubs make baby Jesus cry. Now, guys, cavemen.
You mean, are we talking
about... You mean
about
no
evolution?
One's watching?
Steven, did you catch Caveman, or was it censored in Utah?
It's censored. They don't believe in evolution.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
There's no such thing as Caveman.
What do you mean, Caveman?
Joseph Smith said that we haven't evolved. We were created, and we're actually beings from another planet called Eloy, and black people are bad because they didn't fight in the Holy War, and so Caveman doesn't air here.
Is that all true stuff you're saying, Bill?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mormons don't like black people.
Oh, my God!
I'm serious, because black people are considered a neutral spirits who didn't fight in the holy war in heaven before they came to Earth, so they were cursed to be born with black skin.
No, I'm going to ask... Seriously, look it up. Is this like Scientology-type stuff where they try to ignore that?
Totally. They are nuts. They are knucking futs. But that's cult news. So let's continue.
Well, let's check out Caveman. And I'm going to test you, Steven, and see if you laugh. Okay? Ready, concentrate, and
okay, I'm listening.
Action.
I would so appreciate it if when I'm trying to show a unit to prospective tenants, if you and your friends could keep down that primal grunting that you do.
What are you talking about? I'm just going to go.
I'm not passing judgment, Nick.
I'm Joel.
Nuh-uh. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Maybe one of you guys should tie, like, a piece of colored ribbon in your hair. I do that when I'm traveling to my suitcase. It's so much easier for everybody.
I'll keep that in mind.
Okay, you do that.
Now you laughed, Steven. Oh, wait, that's the giggler. Giggler thought it's hilarious.
The giggler laughs.
He laughs at everything. You can't trust his opinion.
Yeah, that's
not comedy.
He thinks Schindler's List is the feel-good comedy of the year.
The giggler's like,
look at those Jews!
I'm going to steal Liam Neeson's camera. Takes off down the street. Liam Neeson's got a popsicle in his mouth. Awesome. Poor giggler. I miss that guy.
Poor caveman. It'll never make it.
Oh, my God. He shot the giggler.
Should not have killed the giggler.
How much do you guys, seriously, okay, forget about Caveman. Would you watch a giggler sitcom?
What, did we need to be reminded of Caveman?
No, I'm saying forget it, giggler okay. sitcom instead.
I love
it. Oh, absolutely. Well, what do they giggler. Do whenever he gets killed?
And he gets killed like Kenny at the end of every episode. Nice. It's a and procedural.
And it ends with, you should not have killed the giggler.
He steals something at the beginning of every episode, gets killed, and then Horatio-type guy comes in and tries to solve the crime. And then next week, it's like he never died, and they start all over again. So it's a procedural sitcom.
He steals something, is tracked by Paul Kersey, always killed at the end with an elephant pistol. and then they have to solve the crime of the giggler.
I love it. Hey,
and then Fracker gets blown up with a bazooka.
We just have to figure out what network we're going to pitch this to, because I'm pretty sure it'll get snatched up.
Fox, I'm sure, will take it.
No, they'll cancel it in a week.
I'm just saying, they take everything, though.
I'm thinking Fox, if we had the Giggler show, and then Kville immediately after, that's a good lineup right there.
And then Kitchen Nightmares.
But yeah.
But they're going...
And we could get Gordo Ramsay going, they shouldn't have killed the Giggler.
I like a restaurant spinoff called Gigglers. I like it.
Nice.
Now let's talk about
Kidney. It could be a bar, like Cheers.
Yeah.
And right in the middle while you're eating, the giggler comes and steals
your wallet. I can't pay. Gordon Ramsay's and like, get in the back. Get to wash the dishes. Man, see, we could run a network, man.
Everything, the giggler.
All right, Bill. Let's
the giggler
about,
network.
Let's talk about Kid Nation, and then we're going to not forget to talk about Kitchen Nightmares this week.
Okay.
But, okay, Kid Nation, I haven't watched it. I don't know what's going on, but here the guy who wants to be...
You don't care about children.
Yeah, the guy who Jeff Probst type guy offers them either a microwave or a stack of pizzas. Let's check it
out. Bob Probst.
Yeah, Bob Probst, his cousin.
A Frontier microwave.
Oh, my.
Option number two. 40 hot pizzas.
Listen to them.
All right, when everybody groans and starts complaining,
then I have to deal with it.
Which has
the Frontier microwave with the barrel of cocoa?
What's a Frontier microwave?
It's a log cabin microwave.
We do not need some hot pizza.
It's a donkey hooked up to a microwave radiation chamber.
It runs around and warms up food.
Who is unhappy with the job that the council is doing?
I am.
Re-election!
Re-election. They were really...
Viva la revolucion!
So they were really pissed about that. Whoa, what the hell?
Is that appropriate on the Kid Nation?
Yeah.
I think Che Guevara's there.
Now, Bill, what was the deal? Did they all revolt after they didn't get the pizza?
No, of course not. They're a bunch of dumb kids.
Actually, the microwave makes more sense, though, doesn't it?
Not really. I mean, they've been busting their ass there. They have no food. And what food they get is horrible because the team that's, in charge of the food doesn't cook, doesn't clean. So they get a chance for 40 pizzas, and three of the council members are like, absolutely, let's do the pizzas. And then this little bitch on the yellow team, this beauty queen, is like, no, we don't need no pizza. We need a microwave.
Queen?
Deal with it. I'm like, you know what, honey?
Bill.
You little what?
How is she a beauty queen?
Well, she is one of those JonBenet Ramsey types.
Oh. But, I mean, when they say beauty queen, do they mean she's competed? She's not actually a beauty queen? They just put that under her name? Okay.
Yeah, that's what she's done. It's like 8 years old, beauty queen. Huh. So it's kind of creepy, and she's really stuck up, and obviously her parents haven't raised her quite well enough. But, so they didn't get the pizzas. They got the microwave, and everybody was kind of pissed off, and... they wanted to do a re-election, but somehow it just got swept under the rug, and that was it. So really nothing happened.
So do they still have that book, that ancient book that's helping them out?
Yes, the ancient book from 1885. I think they got that from the same place where they bought the Frontier microwave.
And the Book of Mormon. It's available in the
Book of
same
Mormon,
spot.
Yeah.
So Kid Nation, okay.
It's a fun show, but it's...
I meant to watch it that first weekend. I've never caught it. I can't even catch up on any of these shows. There's too many, it seems like.
There's a lot.
They need to start canceling some shows, don't they? I'm kidding.
Like, they will eventually.
Yeah.
Give it another week or two, and we'll start seeing the first casualties.
What do you guys think? Cavemen? Is that going to be the first casualty?
Please,
it's
God!
Got
if there
to
was
be.
God, that's
it's got to be
none of that. If, none of that was remotely funny.
If I did another show that got canceled, I would go find the guys who created Cavemen and punch him in the face. Like,
if there is a
that?
Joseph Smith, he will have Cavemen canceled.
All right, Kitchen Nightmares. We talked about this again, Bill, on the Lunchtime Show. People should find that podcast on nowhereinmulberry.com. It's linked there. But Steven, Kitchen Nightmares. You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't this a tame episode
this
compared to the first
real, team? This was real tame.
It was almost like real people in a way, wasn't it? Or I guess they are all real people. What I'm saying is it seemed less kind of
there was
blown
real,
out of proportion.
There was real no controversy here.
There was no...
Yeah, and they were struggling because they... I was talking to Brock about it. He messaged me about it when we talked about it on the Lunchtime Show. And there was some really sloppy editing in this episode to try to create drama.
Right? It was
there was even a part.
The crybaby manager.
And there, you know, it's funny you say that, Bill, because there's a part where they show Gordon Ramsay put on his jacket and walk out the door, and then they cut to outside, and he doesn't have a jacket on as he's walking away.
He has
away.
His chef's coat on.
I was like, what just happened there?
Yeah, it was time lapse. Like, somewhere in the lobby, he decided to take it off.
Well, this restaurant has no problems with cleanliness. It's just kind of a dull place, really.
Right.
The chef has lost all of his drive, his energy.
He still didn't seem like he had any drive at the end. He was just like...
He's like, I'm really excited about
it. It's like someone needs to put a firecracker in his ass.
I just think that he's on medication.
He's just one of those guys. He's a good cook. That's the only thing he's really good at.
Hey,
but...
when Gordon Ramsay says you're a good cook, that's a huge compliment, too. He's like, he said, you've got a lot of talent. And the guy's not like, hey, thanks. He's like, uh-huh.
Okay.
Wow, that really means a lot to me.
It's like, dude. You need to get off whatever medication you're on or get on medication. But his wife is like, our marriage is so much better now. And he's like, yeah.
I hug her now.
I really like her a lot.
They showed a hugging.
But there's always the one guy, the tool manager, who's always running things in the ground, and there's this guy. He's an a-hole, but he cries all the time, too.
He's yeah, like the Amber of Big Brother on Kitchen Nightmares.
I love that at the end, too, when he turns to him, and he's like, and Gordon's like, oh, come on.
Not again.
I love when Gordon does that, come on.
Yeah, he didn't do that this time.
He didn't really cuss much or anything. He was really tame Gordon in this, wasn't he?
Yeah, like I said, it was just a very banal episode.
Did you love that when he said he even sponsored a walkathon and they show Gordon Ramsay in his little short shorts? He's these bright white legs.
Yeah.
Those legs have never seen the sun before.
Blimey! But there it's sunny over here.
But there was that one part where they get the arena football team to come to the restaurant, and that guy didn't...
Completely forgot about him.
And he goes nuts in front of everybody. He's yelling at everybody, and the customers are all looking up. I kept wondering...
That was all, like, staged drama there.
But that's the part exactly where there was really horrible editing, because if you notice behind Gordon, there's no one in the restaurant. So, obviously, this meltdown happened after the service, and they edit in the reactions
of the crowd.
See, that's
what I was wondering, because they keep showing them look up like, but they never show a wide shot of them looking at him.
Yeah.
No.
Why do they do that? Did they just have nothing?
Well, like you said, this episode really had nothing, so they had to create drama for it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's what's, normally, like, in the UK version, if there's nothing really going on, nothing's going on. It's just the way it works. It shows how boring the place is boring the people.
They don't feel it necessary to speed things up in the British version. It's really laid back, but us Americans can't handle it.
And the only really bad thing they did was
narration.
Was they did not fire that stupid manager. Oh, we'll give him a second chance. We really don't want to hire a new guy because we're too damn lazy.
Well, that's the thing. If he was doing that in front of customers, he would have been fired instantly, I would hope. But maybe he wasn't really doing it like Bill said.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, let's quickly talk about heroes. Heroes. My favorite part, again, is Hiro and the Samurai. I thought that stuff was fun.
Yeah, I really liked whenever he acted like he was Kensei.
I mean, it's all really predictable, too. Don't get me wrong.
You know he's Kensei.
Yeah, it's all completely predictable, but at the same time, it's fun.
Yeah, it is.
We find out that the Brit guy has healing powers, like Claire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that means he's probably still alive.
Possibly, yeah. Interesting.
You think they're long-lived.
Before we get to the train wreck that is the Peter Petrelli story, let's talk about Peter's mom, who's attacked by some unforeseen force scratching her face out and stuff.
Some strange
entity. I think she just has Tourette's, and she had a spell where she just started scratching herself.
You know what? I think who attacked her was Molly. Molly in her sleep. That's another power she has.
In her mind.
Yeah.
That's
what I'm thinking. Something like that.
She's her own demon.
Right. And I'm just... Okay, first of all, is that guy who...
What? What's that?
He said, that's deep. Okay, the guy who likes Claire and who's always like, you're one of them, you're a sheep or whatever. Is his name West? Like W-E-S-T?
No, his name is Asshole.
But I swear,
because it's like the whole episode he's like trying to get her to admit that she's something that she isn't, and then at the end whenever he sees her cut off her toe, he's like, oh my god, I'm gonna run away and fly. Yeah.
I love, like, it's like he's a peeping Tom is what he is. Yeah. That's his special ability that he's been using to fly around. Well, so he can learn how to fly but Clark can't. Okay, the wrong show, sorry. Okay, we also have I'm liking the Matt Parkman stuff, the Mohinder stuff. I'm liking Haitian.
It's like they're getting
the Haitian is back.
I know. I like that. That whole story.
You know, and they're getting rid of the whole Asian subtitle. Now they're doing Hispanic subtitle.
Yeah,
it's like, are they getting lazy with this?
No, I don't think so. I don't think
Why
so.
Why would they be lazy if they're doing Hispanic subtitles?
No, just because they're...
You mean they're relying on it too?
They're relying on it.
I actually thought that was kind of cool because between the Japanese storyline and this one, there's a lot of subtitles on the show.
Right.
I kind of think that's cool in a way.
Yeah, that's something that would never have happened in television a few years ago.
And did you guys figure it out that the girl's powers, if she's away from her brother, then it goes off and everyone dies around her? Are we thinking Wonder Twins a little, maybe?
Yeah, of course it's the Wonder Twins.
And he's the one who sucks
Where's
up all her
monkey?
Evil or whatever.
Yeah,
when
oh, God.
When are they
going
to get the monkey?
Before they get to America, I want to see them pick up a monkey. Gleek.
A spider monkey.
I love Gleek.
I don't know. I just thought
and
it was
get
like
some
a...
tennis shoes to wear.
I thought it was just a gimmick. They were kind of their elbowing, you know, just sitting on, you know, using the...
I didn't feel that. I almost think it's cool. There's a lot of shows that a network wouldn't let them do that. I know an Alias, whenever somebody's from another country, they would speak in a foreign language, like, do you know English? And then they'd start speaking English, like one sentence. They would never do entire long scenes. The whole part where the lady says, I'm a healer, and she's holding her, and she's like, you're the devil, you're cursed, or whatever. None of that was in English. That's really cool when you think about it.
Oh, man. Dios mío.
Yeah. Madre de Dios. And stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm
but,
just not saying it was a. It's bad, but I'm just saying, or, you know, was it, you know.
Now,
I
Peter Petrelli, he's been kidnapped.
I don't know.
I like that.
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I don't
but
know.
We're moving
I'm
on.
I'm going to set it up flip flopping. Okay,
all right,
continue
Steven,
on.
Steven, what do you think of the Peter Petrelli story and the the authentic Irish accents?
It's all very silly.
Big fart.
Well, we know what they did with the Black Donnellys. They showed up on Heroes. Wouldn't that have been cool, Bill, if they
Peter,
got...
you're going to stay here and do my work because you need my Lucky Charms.
How cool would that have been, Bill, if they got the same actors who played the Black Donnellys?
They needed to get Billy Connolly and the other guys.
No, yeah, they get the friggin' Boondock Saints.
Bill Duce in the Boondocks.
That would have been awesome. I love
that's who they work for. It's the Boondocks.
You know, it's
they
funny
went to
you
Ireland.
Say that because the this episode was directed by Troy Duffy. All right, he's
oh,
back.
Shut up.
What, did you think I meant it for a second? It's called Kidding.
No, but I can't take that seriously. I can't. Troy Duffy, like, makes me want to puke.
Oh, he's a talented guy. He's misunderstood.
And he's just an asshole.
He's a master debater. So,
but you know, when the guy starts, he's dangling that the little box with all Peter's memorabilia in it, you know.
That was retarded.
Guess what, you know, if he can do all the other stuff, he can still freeze time and go grab it.
Make him fight.
Why didn't he just throw one of those Hurricanes right at that guy and take the box?
I'm just going to hold on to this box until you do my bidding. Hey, no, I'm going to knock your ass out and pick it up myself.
Okay, which one is Peter, Ryu or Ken?
The whole scene would have worked better if he said, I have your belongings somewhere and I will give them to you. Not dangle them right in front of his face. I go, give it to me.
This little box, Peter.
Or, you know, or if he'd had the little box and then showed it empty and said, look, I've got them hidden.
You know what
this is-
would have been better, would have been funnier, is if he goes, I know your real name, Barry. And I have your stuff. And we would know as an audience that he's lying to him. But he's like, I must know who I am. My name's Barry. He goes, yep, Barry Johnson. And,
Barry Manilow.
I can tell you more. Yeah, Barry Manilow. And I'll tell you more about you after you do our bidding. He goes, my name's Barry Manilow. I must know more. And my name's
You're
Michael
Bolton. You're a songwriter.
Yeah, your name's Michael Bolton.
And you got your start in a gay bathhouse in San Francisco.
Yeah,
I'm gay.
That would have been great if he would have said.
They should have totally confused him sexually.
Your name is Michael Bolton, and that's all I'll tell you right now. He's like, Michael Bolton?
There was nothing wrong with it until I was about 12 years old, and that no-talent ass clown became famous and started winning Grammys.
Exactly.
That was Peter Petrelli.
Yeah, that was a great scene. It seemed familiar, though. So Heroes is it's fine. Next week it looks like Nikki's
back. It's fine.
I mean,
next week we get Nikki.
We're all getting set up. It's all set up, you know.
And is DL dead?
I guess so. He's dead. Mm. He's off the show, I think. Mm. He'll show up. I don't know.
Yeah. He has healing powers.
But what with the paintings things, are they going to try and do... It's probably not going to be like per episode. I don't know how long they're going to try and stretch out this.
When he said Isaac did some paintings before he died, I was like, no, stop with the paintings.
It's like 8 paintings. That's why they... You know why they're doing it that way is so they don't paint themselves into a corner. It's like... it's like
they can come up with any painting they
exactly.
want at any time, yeah.
It's like, oh, when they run into something, hey, look, he drew a painting of that, see? Yeah.
So what,
that's a great, easy way out to have, like, a little library of fake paintings.
Say he finds a painting and it's of the mother Petrelli dead. Well, what good does that do anybody? How can you stop anything? Or what clues can you get from that?
Exactly. That's why that part is all lazy there.
Oh yeah, that's true. I'm reading in the chat room. Next week, find out what's in the box.
If I was Peter, I would have went, your mom's box, Hiroken!
Yeah, it's just like,
blasted him.
It's like, whatever. Okay, let's
talk driver's license, some credit cards.
Do you want to talk about Smallville first, but before we talk about some, like, Pushing Daisies? Or...
What about Bionic Woman?
You know what? I still haven't got to see it. Never got to catch up on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you got to watch it because I was cracking up. There's a total Rocky training scene in it, this episode.
Nice.
And it's even got the music in the background like, don't give up! Don't give in! And I'm just like, oh my god, no, they're not doing this.
It's a montage!
Yeah. she's like, yeah, she's doing pull-ups with her one bionic arm.
Awesome.
Fighting the Asian guy.
Why her one bionic arm? Wouldn't she be working out with her non-bionic arm that she needs it to get stronger?
Do you have to work out bionics to keep them up?
I don't know.
I think so.
Isn't that like the Terminator lifting weights? It's like, dude, you're a robot. Your muscles aren't expanding or anything. But maybe
I'll tell you what, they are exposing this girl's hotness. She's got a great body, and they had her like in a sports bra with her boobs heaving whenever she was doing the pull-ups. And so I think they kind of figured out not much in the face, but she's got a lot going on everywhere else.
Nice.
Heaving bosoms.
Yeah. We'll check that out, and then we'll talk about it on the lunchtime show.
All right.
That's the only way we're going to catch up on it. Okay, before we talk about the incredible Smallville, Pushing Daisy. Steven, you got to see it, right?
Yeah.
It was directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, and it was written by Brian Fuller, the creator of Dead Like Me, and it's a good show, I thought.
It was really entertaining. I liked it.
I can't wait to see Dead Like Daisies. Yeah, at first, I thought it was going to be a 30-minute thing. I'm glad it's an hour.
Yeah.
And they're rerunning it on Friday, which is too late now because it is Friday, so I don't know why I'm saying that. Unless you T-vote it.
But then it doesn't matter if they've replayed it or not. You've already got it.
But it's a good show. I really
time is fleeting.
Sorry. I was
breaking into the Rocky Horror Picture Show for some reason.
Oh.
Sorry. Hey, you know, I went to high school in Pittsburgh. It was a creative arts high school.
Now,
you know,
Steven,
some of it rubbed off on me.
What vibe did you get from Pushing Daisies?
That's what I couldn't put my finger on when I was watching, man. I was just sitting there. I was like, it reminded me of something.
Did you ever watch Dead Like Me?
No.
Because it's got that kind of, Brian Fuller, whatever's running around in his head, I like it. He's got a dark sense of humor, for sure.
You know, actually,
like, I mean, for
thinking about it, you know, it's almost Edward Scissorhands is too.
Yeah, you know, are you saying Tim Burton-ish?
No. Not
very
really.
Sonnenfeld-ish.
You know, because it was funny, I was talking to Bill about that. There was this TV critic who interviewed Barry Sonnenfeld after the screening, and he's like, what did you think? She goes, very Tim Burton. He was like, ugh. He was like, or it could have been very Barry Sonnenfeld, and you just didn't know it. And she was like, oh, uh-huh. She didn't know what he meant, but he's a director of photography on a lot of films, including the Coen brothers, Tim Burton. He was saying maybe the things you thought was Tim Burton-y were actually Barry Sonnenfeld-like.
Right.
And then when they went and did the Q&A with all the reporters and stuff, he was like, yeah, just outside, this lady comes up to me and she says, hey, very Tim Burton. And he made a joke out of it. And she was like this big.
Sinking.
Yeah, it's just so embarrassing.
No, I mean, I just say of the film. So, I mean, you're right. The cinematography is, I guess, what I was thinking
of. The color palette.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
So, I mean, I was waiting for you to go,
it reminded me of Tim Burton.
No.
That's what I wanted you to say.
No, because the way the story is told is different.
Yeah,
I mean, so that's what I'm saying. It wasn't the storyline of the way Tim tells.
Yeah,
it was the color palette. So
I think it's
a lot of fun. One thing I mentioned on the Lunchtime show was how much I love the narration by Jim Dale, who also does the readings of the Harry Potter audiobooks.
Right,
which was really a pleasant surprise. The guy has a great voice for narration.
Yeah, the show is just.
I'm glad I didn't sink into your little trap.
The show was a class act. It's a great show.
You were trying to set me up.
I mean, come on. Think about how unique it is compared to the rest of the lineup.
Yeah.
There's so many
men.
Crime procedurals, etc. This is something
Private
fresh.
Practice.
I think everybody should give it a chance, and especially you Nielsen family members. You know what I need to do? If I'm not in the Nielsen family, I need to become friends with somebody in the Nielsen family. Steal their diary and fill it in for them. Yeah, just turn that in.
But yeah, it was. I like the love story where they can't be really in love. I mean, they're in love, but they can't
touch.
Can't do anything about it.
Yeah, the guy.
Yeah, that sucks.
He can touch a dead person, bring him back for a minute. If a minute elapses, someone in the vicinity drops dead, but he still can't touch that person he's brought back to life, or they'll drop dead. It's really cool.
Yeah, and the chick, I guess you'd say the love interest is Anna Friel, who is just very, very attractive.
What do I know her from, Bill? I was trying to place her.
Gosh, she was in, I know she was in that movie Timeline, that horrible Richard Donner movie.
At first I thought she was like a brunette Julie Bowen or something.
She kind of is.
I was like, is that Julie Bowen with a wig? No, she would, I don't know.
Hmm.
But
no, she's been in a lot of stuff. I remember when she was in like Tales from the Crypt back in the 90s, and I don't know. She's done a lot of stuff.
Do you guys think that Smallville, you know, they class up the CW. Maybe Pushing Daisies will class up ABC a little.
They class up the CW.
It's like, you know, we got all these shows. Oh, by the way, Reaper, I love that show. Two episodes in, I love it. It's got that, it's such a light, entertaining show. It's not trying to sell you anything.
I haven't seen the second episode yet. I've got it.
Reaper?
TiVo'd.
Yeah.
That guy that plays his friend Sock or whatever just gets on my freaking nerves. I just cannot stand him.
What's the actor who plays the devil?
He's not a good actor. He's not funny. He's just irritating.
I don't have a problem with him, honestly.
Yeah, there's just something about him that bugs the hell
out
of me.
But I think the devil steals the show, the Leland Palmer.
Oh, definitely.
Leland Palmer, yeah.
What's his name, the actor?
Oh.
I blank on stuff like this.
Yeah. The RoboCop criminal.
Yeah. He's such a great actor. He's so good as the devil in that. Awesome.
What about Chuck?
Chuck is good. Like the Chuck.
Kind of, you know, I wasn't really impressed with Chuck this week. I think, you know, I was even talking to Brock about this on Xbox Live about how it's starting to like break its own rules with Chuck. Like now he's flying helicopters, and I don't know. It was a little much. I think they need to pull back a little bit and make it a little bit more. I don't know, less fanciful. Like leave that to Pushing Daisies.
I liked the one thing I did like was the fight scene in the wiener.
Yeah,
the wiener.
I love the teenager. The teenage wienerlicious.
Wienerlicious. Yeah, he comes in there with the camera to take a picture of her on the counter.
Yeah. Yeah, there's this young kid. Did you notice he like gets his food and as he's leaving, he goes, "I love you." Yeah. As he's leaving,
she looked really hot too. I mean, that outfit was something else.
I think it's a fun show. I think it'll find its footing. You know,
I tell you what though, it was kind of like embarrassing that. When I saw his bedroom with the old boy and the Tron poster up, because I have those two posters.
Nice.
My room, I know. It was so embarrassing. Like, dude, you're such a geek.
You know what my favorite part was is when the girl was abducted and they go to the Best Buy type store and they hear screaming and they're like, oh my God, she's in there. And they go to the home theater room and it's his buddy sitting there eating dinner. He like goes in the store at night to watch movies in the theater room. I thought that
Hell,
was really
I would
cool.
too.
I thought that was awesome. Good stuff. All right, Smallville, best show on television. None of these new shows can even do anything to replace it.
Can't hold a candle.
Not even Friday Night Lights. My favorite guy, though, I'm not that impressed with Supergirl. I'm impressed with Grant Gabriel.
Oh, my God. Where did they get this guy from?
Why did they? After the scene,
they had to have just pulled him off the street in Vancouver.
He's like
have you acted before? No, that's perfectly fine.
I'm Grant Gabriel. I'm the new editor. And I turn to Steve and I go, so do they hire actors on the show? Or are they just like, hey, you're a good-looking kid. Get in here. Get in wardrobe, kid.
And how old is he? He's like a teenager.
Where did he come from?
He looked like he was 22, 23 years old.
He's the head of a newspaper that's read worldwide.
I know. I was just like, there's no
I'm
way.
I'm telling you, Chloe, there was some kind of UFO. Hey, that sounds like an interesting story. I know you're telling the truth. Tell you what, kid, you write the story, I'll give you a job. You'll give me a job.
Yeah,
yes,
see
I will.
Here, kid. Now we're back in the 40s.
That's exactly what I told Jason.
There's even this scene, I got to play this, Bill, where let's listen to Grant Gabriel. He's a genius.
Lane, I just read your story. It's ridiculous. But it was just your first draft, Mr. Hebel.
It's absurd how good it is. Your prose leaps off the page like a Bengal tiger. I was riveted.
Like a pit bull on a pant leg.
Absolutely not. It's utterly unprintable. I don't care if every word of it's true. I can't run a story about a ship from outer space without a photo. You gotta learn, Lane. Always carry a backup camera.
She's just starting out. If you would just give her a second chance.
You like water, Lane?
As much as the next girl.
Because I'm giving you a waterfront view. This is your new desk, right here, right across from Cousin Chloe.
Excuse me?
If you're lucky, Sullivan, some of her passion will rub off on you. Maybe put a little fire on that torch you let burn out after high school.
Torch? That's
Am
what
I
she wrote
things,
for, the torch?
Or did you just offer me a job?
Welcome to the Daily Planet, Lois Lane. You play your cards right, you'll be out of this basement quicker than your cousin.
Okay,
like
see.
Like a little family rivalry to keep the bullpen hopping.
All right, thank you. Welcome to the Daily Planet. It's the cat's meow.
I was waiting for him to go.
Let's go do the Charleston.
I was waiting for him to say page two. Oh, I'm sorry. It just says that on the cue cards I'm reading.
Yeah.
But
I can't wait to see what they have in store
for Grant Gabriel. That name just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
Hopefully a bullet.
I went to the Green Arrow School of Acting, see?
Yeah.
See, yeah, here's a gun. I'm putting it to my head.
How great would it have been if they just brought back the same actor who played Green Arrow but playing a different character? I would love that.
Yours just keep getting dirtier.
Why not? Yeah. That's what I mean,
these guys are just, I mean, just...
The new editor of the Daily Planet.
Just
dirty thing.
I thought I made myself clear. You were only to use violence if you were in danger.
Exactly. Now, what was this episode even about? Oh, it's about Supergirl.
Who is really kind of bizarre looking.
She is kind of bizarre looking.
I think something happened to that head of hers in suspended animation.
Yeah, so basically she showed up and she's been stuck in suspended animation in her spaceship. And
yeah, she's been in suspended animation in short shorts and boots
for 18 years. I was like, her in the suspended animation, her clothes
shrank.
And a
halter top.
Yeah. And she was, I guess...
Wow.
It seemed like through the storyline she was going to be... the nanny for Clark, somehow.
She was going to take care of baby Clark,
yeah.
But she got suspended animation. I don't know. What goes on in the comic books? I don't know. I was more of a Marvel kind of kid back then.
Yeah,
so I don't really know that early Superman stuff. But
you know what? I think they started it a long time ago and then rebooted it in like the 90s. But just really bad. And the girl is just as bad an actress as... Grant.
Right. And you know what? It doesn't shock me at all. I'm like, she's about on par with what I thought. She wouldn't really be that much of an actress. You know, they're looking for, I don't know, they showed...
TNA.
They're looking for TNA. But the whole thing with she's got to find her ship in time before it blows up and takes out all of Kansas or something.
I mean, come on. And we were talking about the body slams, you know?
Bill, is it just me or do the sound effects on the show, like, decibels way higher than the rest of the show?
Way too loud.
Like, there's a part where he grabs her from flying away and he goes, bam, on the ground, and, like, the whole room shakes.
Yeah, the sound effects guys are having a little too much fun. Like, oh, this is going to be awesome.
Especially the scene where he's like, "Well, why can't you hear the alarm? If you just concentrate for a second." I was like, uh-oh, Steven, get ready. Let me turn the volume down. It's like the...
It's like when he starts on the show, when he starts talking to her, I said, "Uh oh, get ready for special effects."
Yeah, here it comes. Yeah. And
oh,
hell,
no, baby crying, a woman screaming, cars beeping,
and then when Lois finds the ship, it was like, whoop, whoop,
she put the car alarm.
And I loved that it was red as opposed to black.
And
like
what did I say, Steven? I go,
they spray painted the...
I was like, it's a matter of seconds before she's knocked unconscious when she finds the ship. And sure enough, she touches the ship and gets knocked unconscious, doesn't see anything that happens.
It's like they bought all their spaceship from the same used car or used spaceship dealer on
yeah. I love that she's, like, walking into this place. There's no guards, anything. Oh, they must have evacuated the area. Wait a second. I've got my little video camera here. Let me tape this.
And she's
what's that? I want to touch it.
She's talking at normal volume to herself and the camera.
Yeah. I have no inner monologue. I need to talk to myself.
But the best stuff was Lex finding Lana and that whole thing there where, go ahead and shoot me, Lana. I deserve it.
Once again, the charisma is unbearable.
Now, didn't you love the twist there that the body, her DNA checked out, she's dead. Turns out old Lexi made a clone of her. And do you like how that whole story goes by? And she never says...
Just a blink of an eye. Nobody noticed.
She never says, oh, by the way, why did you have a clone of me? That never comes up, ever.
Yeah, it just shows her taking the clone and buckling it into the car.
And it's just like staring forward like lifeless.
Like, oh, well, I'm just going to buckle this lifeless clone body of mine into the car before it explodes.
The first thing Lana thinks is that, why is there a clone of me? It's... I could use this to fake my own death. I'm going to put it in a car and I'll blow up my car. Did you love how the ambulance or something drives by and she's grabbing on in the flashback to get a quick getaway?
No, I think wasn't it a mail Schwabel's truck or something?
Truck.
Yeah. It's a FedEx or something.
A little FedEx truck or something.
All right, I've tried to hurry. We're at the same time that we always are.
I know.
What do you got? Okay, guys, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back, and we're going to get into the news. What do you say? Sound good?
Yep.
Sounds right.
We're Saturday Super K. Gather around. We'll get your video friends together. Yes, Saturday Super K. It's time for fun, and no one else can do it better. And it feels so
Supercade. And now, these messages.
I guess we'll have to eat this boring oatmeal.
It's a trap!
Wow, Admiral Akbar! Wow, Admiral Akbar cereal!
Colorful marshmallows!
You are tasting crab meat!
Your tongues can't repel flavor of that magnitude!
There's a prize in every box!
Admiral Akbar cereal! Now with brine shrimp!
Weeze be back, everybody. What's up? About ready to do
the hell of a piss, Arnold. Is that the new news music?
Yeah. So what do you say, Bill? We do some news. Let's do it. All right, Bill, what do we got in the news?
I think I'm a little insulted.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to cover this story last week, but I forgot. You know, there's this this guy named David Hahn Schmidt who's kind of like he collects celebrity pornography. He was part of releasing a bunch of those tapes. And last week he kind of showed up dead. What's so funny about it is, you remember a few years ago, he tried to extort, like, $1 million from Tom Cruise, saying that he had photos of gay activity.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, all of a sudden this guy shows up kind of dead, and there's no reason why you would expect him to be dead. You know, he had no reason to be depressed. He was making good money and everything. So it sounds a little bit shady, like maybe the Scientology hit squad got to him.
What?
I disagree with it.
I don't know, man. It's just, it's crazy. He was free on bail because of this. You know, Tom Cruise's Scientology people were pressing charges against him. But
what do you mean
he
by
was...
that?
You know, he was out on bail, and he agreed to a plea deal where he, you know, paid a fine, and he was under, you know, watch. So he just kind of there's no reason, there's no force of entry or anything.
He's
but
just all of a sudden depression set in. Like, God,
yeah.
I'm depressed. I'm gonna kill myself.
The thesis yeah. took over.
How did he kill himself? By the way.
They haven't released that yet, which is kind of
because it's
weird
whenever they
me.
Find a guy hanging from a chandelier or something. It's like, this looks really suspicious, you know?
Yeah, this is the guy that like had Paris Hilton's diaries, and he put
Where
out
does
that
he get this stuff.
I don't know. I guess he gets contacts, and he gets them and sells them.
He buys it for somebody from somebody else. He pays less,
yeah.
And then he, you know, highest.
Was like was it like the guy who? When her storage went, she unpaid.
Yeah.
You know, is that what it is?
So he
Here's
paid for it.
And
he got all
exercise.
Her stuff.
So somebody gave him a heads up. Hey, her storage has gone up. You can buy all her stuff.
So this guy's a scumbag.
Well, yeah, he's a scumbag. So there's plenty of people that could have killed him, but I don't know. When you're involved with Scientology and you turn up dead,
right?
Fingers kind of point
very
that way.
Interesting.
So, you know, I was talking earlier about how Mormons don't like black people. Well, it's kind of funny. There's this film called Desert Bayou about a group of, you know, black people from Louisiana who were affected by Hurricane Katrina, and they were moved up to
Utah.
600 of them were moved up to Utah into these, you know, evacuation communities. And I guess they get there. And then the people of the Church of Latter-day Saints have always been pro-slavery. So, and of course, Joseph Smith said that black skin was a sign of being cursed. So these people get up there, and then they are just treated like complete crap.
I'm a black girl.
So they made an entire documentary about it, and it, you know, exposes the horrible treatment they're getting from people in Utah and the FEMA problems. And it's not exactly shocking to me that this is going on.
I'm curious about this, Stephen. In Utah, how many black people do you see there?
Not a lot.
Really?
Not
yeah,
really.
No shit.
There's a couple of guys that or black guys on our team that went up there, and it's like,
and they said, "Oh, it's kind of weird here, man."
Well, they've noticed it's like there's not a whole lot, you know. It's like, no.
Have they noticed any like negative looks or anything?
Not really. I mean, they've been, you know, they're with us, and I really haven't seen it, you know. So, you know, they're not treated any different than when we're around them. So,
major dumbass.
Maybe it's more around the entire, like, maybe the, I say the Mormon community, because
they just,
you know, we're just kind of,
they need not wander away from civilized areas. Like, hey, let's go in the backwoods and check this out. Hey, what's this compound over here?
I mean, they've been hanging out at, you know, the guys, we're all hanging, I haven't been going to the bars with all the other guys, but but they're going to the bars with all our other co-workers, and
this is like probably this is a small sect, I'm thinking, right?
It's possible, but hey, I think Church of Latter-day Saints is pretty big.
You got the ones that are the real kind of culty activists, you know, and then there's the ones, you know.
I think Latter-day Saints are like the more mainstream, and then there's the little break-offs.
You know, the ones that are into the polygamy are probably, you know.
But what the hell do we know also?
We're speculating.
Yeah. I mean, you know. To say that they all hate, you know, blacks or whatever.
Yeah. Hey, if you're Mormon, call in right now. 818-935-5132 and put us in our place.
And if you're black Mormon, that would be
better. Yes, we want to hear from black Mormons.
And embrace it for me. And, woo.
All right, Bill, what else you got?
next story is another Scientology story. But it's really kind of funny. I love the way they work their way into communities. There's this group called Dance Buskers, and they work in this mall in the UK doing jive swing lessons. But in order to join this club, you have to go through a personality test and become, you know, part of Scientology. The whole hide behind it is that these people are Scientologists, and this is the way they appeal to younger people that are interested in, you know, swing and jive dancing.
An electropsychometer.
So if you're in London or in the UK and you want to go to, where is this? The Jive Aces. Don't. It's a Scientology organization.
Really?
Well, I believe swing dancing helps clear your body of thetans as well.
Yes, it does. All that shaking and jumping, it like causes them to fly out from everywhere.
That, you know, that stuff is crazy, but that makes sense. If you're to dance, negative things fall off you because you're having a good time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thetan.
It's like a clay table, but dancing.
Ah, comfortable clay table. And clay pillow. Right, Steven?
Exactly.
Like Tom Cruise gets Scientological.
They're going to come
after us. So in Amsterdam...
They're coming after you, Steven. No, they won't set foot in Utah. Is that true, Bill? Scientologists won't set foot in Utah?
I don't know. That would be kind of a crazy situation.
According to Tom Cruise, you can be a Mormon Scientologist.
You're right. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? It's like, I got all this shit I got to do. I can't keep all this straight.
Both of them like stem from space, so maybe it's a win-win.
Hey, I'm going to create that.
You know, you can get all your wives whenever you die, just like in Islam. Spread your seed through the universe with your space wives. So there's
space
an orangutan.
Polygamy.
What?
Space polygamy.
Yeah, why not? There's an orangutan in Amsterdam named Cebu, but he's kind of pissed off his zookeepers because he refuses to mate with the other female orangutans. The only thing that gets him sexually excited are tattooed human blondes.
Really?
Yeah. So he chases these girls, ignores them, but he doesn't know what he should do.
So he's really into the rock of love, huh?
Yeah, he just loves him some blonde girls.
Well, it just says tattooed blondes. Is it
No, it's just tattooed blondes. I don't think it matters skin color. As long as you're blonde and have a tattoo, this chimp.
I'm just saying male or female.
Yeah, hey, why not? AC/DC. So
Also, those crazy Amsterdam people. Dutch customs found 100 dead beetles stuffed with cocaine while examining a parcel from Peru. The beetles had been split open and filled with about 300 grams of cocaine, which is estimated a street value of about $11,000. So that's quite an interesting way of smuggling. I guess maybe they decided the human mules weren't good enough, so maybe they go with dead insect mules.
How big are these bugs?
I know, man. They fit 11 grand worth of coke in them.
It's like a lot of bugs.
Yeah, they said there was 300 of them. Or no, wait. 100 dead beetles, and it was a total of 300 grams of cocaine. So them are some huge freaking beetles. Maybe they were Paul and
George. I want to see a picture of these bugs, man.
I know. They're enormous. They're like the size of a finger. So this past week, it was the anniversary of Sputnik.
Ah.
If, you know, the little beeping thing 500 miles up freaked everyone out like it was War of the Worlds. But the thing that reminds me about Sputnik is So I Married an Axe Murderer. Whenever Mike Myers does that bit with the kid with the gigantic red hair, he goes, "Hid! Move! Now!" And he's talking about how it's like Sputnik.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It hid like Sputnik! He also does the Piper
how
is
how
down.
How often did Mike Myers rely on that that Scottish voice?
Yeah, he went from that to Fat Bastard and the...
If it's not Scottish, it's crap routine.
Yeah.
On SNL.
Yeah. True. I actually loved that bit, though. That was good.
No, you're just saying how many did he rely on? I'm just
right.
Just naming another one.
No, Steven, don't knock it.
Well, I think he had Scottish grandparents.
Why are you knocking
so
it, Steven?
Steven's an elitist, please.
That was the heyday of SNL back in the...
Oh, yeah, that was totally the heyday.
He has name!
So, out of Utah, in Salt Lake City, maybe you heard this while you were out there.
We keep going back to Utah.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy the things that happen.
Stop.
An Arkansas
crying.
Company is offering $100 to
Stop.
A Utah woman who found a severed rodent head in a can of green beans.
Nice.
Marianne Watson says she won't go along with the deal, which required a pledge not to sue over the unsavory incident. The letter from Allen's Inc. of Siloam Springs, Arkansas, describes the $100 offer as a gesture of goodwill. She says she won't sign it under any circumstances. She said she never wanted to take legal action, but she wants to put enough media attention on the company so that they'll withdraw the cans or try to do something that won't shut her up. You know,
you're in a deep
state of
crap.
She bought this can of green beans at
$100
Walmart.
$100 to keep it quiet.
Yeah, $100 is hush money for finding a freaking
it's like,
rat head in your
what
green
is the
beans.
Deal with my
you know, maybe a grand. Come on. You know?
Here's $100. That reminds me of my granddad.
Here's $100 and all you can eat a can of green beans.
I remember one time my grandfather was like, "I'll give you 50 cents. Go clean out the garage." I was like, 50 cents? What century are you in? 50 cents? I have $5 in my pocket right now. I'm 10 years old. You're going to give me 50 cents to clean out the garage?
Here, I'll give you a dollar. You go do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's $5. Clean your own.
Hey, kid, I'll give you 50 cents to clean out the garage.
Here's a quarter. Don't go spend it in one place.
Get out of here, kid. You bother me.
Here's a nickel.
So,
you know what I'd do with a nickel when I was your age?
In Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, a 39-year-old woman was arrested outside an East Lampeter Township grocery store Wednesday and was charged with having stolen a donut put in the back of her pants. That is
major
one hungry
issues.
Woman.
Is this the same fudge lady, but she switched to donuts?
I think so. Police were tipped off to the theft by witnesses at the store, and within minutes they found the woman hiding across the street at a nearby business. Are you serious? They're chasing a woman with a donut crammed
in her
ass?
Stop, donut lady, freeze!
Why are you breathing so hard?
Return that 59-cent donut.
Was it like diamond studded or something?
It says a 44-cent donut resulted in her being turned over to the Lancaster City Prison, where she had a bench warrant out on her for something. It doesn't say, but so stealing a donut and cramming it down your pants got her arrested, and she already had a bench warrant out for not appearing in court.
That's a huge bitch.
I can indeed. Only imagine.
Indeed she was.
An Ontario man was charged with trailers full of beer. Peel Region Police west of Toronto have made an arrest in the theft of more than 100,000 bottles and cans of Moosehead and Labatt beer.
Wow.
The beer with a retail value of $200,000 was stolen last month from two tractor trailers in a trucking yard, and police believe the suspect is responsible for stealing 100,000. Holy crap!
Man, it's party time!
Well, okay, 1,100 cases of beer and was selling the ill-gotten ale to bars and after-hours clubs. They don't think he was working alone and anticipate further arrests. Holy crap. How do you steal two tractor trailers of beer?
We're going to have us a good time.
That's insanity, man. Oh, and by the way, I guess in England, you know, there's a thing called clotted cream where you take, like, cheesecloth, put it over something, pour cream into it, and what stays in the cheesecloth is called clotted cream. It's clotted cream. It's basically pure fat, and they love putting it in tea overseas and like on it's like a whipped cream, but it's really heavy.
Nice.
So they're trying to ban it over there, and people are really pissed off.
Why ban it?
Because I guess because it's so unhealthy. It's just so absolutely horrible for you. Clotted cream, I mean, literally it's clotted, so you can imagine what it does to your arteries.
Why do they care? There's so many things that are bad for you.
I know, but yeah, people go on these rampages where they want to.
So they don't go after the companies that are creating all these damn preservatives that'll give you
like,
cancer. Or...
It's just like putting like a Syntax on cigarettes and everything else. They think that the government thinks they know what's better for you than you do.
That's so awesome.
That's just. I thought that was kind of ridiculous that they're trying to put a ban on artery clogging cream.
Let them have cream, damn it!
Let them have cream. Police.
Does he do me that way?
A police officer in Tagawa, Japan, is in serious condition after being shot in the ass with his own pistol while scuffling with a porno vending machine thief.
Nice.
Yeah, the 29-year-old sergeant from Tagawa is being treated for the wound to his ass. Two men have been arrested for robbery, resulting in the injury in connection with the case. Police said the sergeant was one of three policemen to rush to the scene after a security company informed them that somebody was tampering with a pornography vending machine in an isolated part of Tagawa, 4:30 a.m. Friday morning. Officers reached the vending machine to find two men trying to break into it. A scuffle arose, and one of the men took out the sergeant's gun, firing it and sending a bullet slamming into the police officer's ass.
Ow!
Wow. That's great. We need porn! Oh, my God, break into the machine. I need porn so bad.
The cops! Get out of here!
These guys have such an anal fetish, they're even shooting in the
ass. Get his gun! Shoot him in the ass!
It is an intriguing sensation.
Wow.
I went there. I can't believe it.
Steven, you went there.
Steven loves ass play.
That's great.
Indeed, Steven. Nice of you to admit that.
Steven
is my name.
Not being used to my ability.
These anal retentive parents where is this? Doesn't say on the news story. That sucks. Well, anyways, there's parents out there
Make
that
it
are
up.
Trying.
They're from Utah.
Yeah. They're from Utah, damn it. All it says is the news outlet, so that's stupid. But
hey, Steven, I'll get back to you in about 15 minutes.
Okay,
talk to you later.
Yeah, It's some ass playing.
Oh, good lord!
The parents are calling it a prank that went too far. A high school student ran for homecoming queen and won. The controversy is the queen is a male student. Aaron Zaghi, a senior, ran for 2007 homecoming queen at University City High School and won. The idea said he came from a good friend. Oh, that's a really good friend. Hey, man, run for homecoming queen. That would be badass.
It's a strong smell.
They said we slapped up some posters and did it and won. Zaghi thought it would end there. It didn't. I didn't run, but my best friend ran, and she was really mad. She was upset. So
it's like, what this is this,
Degrassi
High? Why are they reporting this in the news?
Hey, man!
A queen is a female, a woman is a girl, says the Board of Education, which met Thursday night.
Oh, they had to meet to figure this out.
Yeah, I don't think that's exactly right. A queen could be
this is so nauseating.
Like,
let's see, the women sued to get into West Point. An all-male establishment.
I don't know.
See, they've also sued to get women or young girls on high school football teams. So what? Yeah, why can't a guy run for a homecoming queen? What's the difference?
Maybe he's gay, for all we know.
He could be.
Maybe
it's Chris Crocker.
Yeah, he's ambiguous.
That he is. Do you want to get to some DVDs?
About? Yeah, let's do it. Is that news, Bill?
Yeah, that's news.
Thanks for doing the news, Bill. And
thank you.
Let's check out what? What are we going to do? I can't remember.
Let's do some DVDs.
Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! DVDs! DVDs, HD, Blu-ray, that's the definition! DVDs!
Oh, hell yeah, everybody, the DVDs! It's party time. Oh, hell yeah!
It's getting warm in here.
What are you talking about?
That's the other version.
So please keep on all your clothes.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the DVDs this week?
Starting off is kind of a obscure film came out, I think last year, called 1208 East of Bucharest. It's a Romanian film that is basically kind of like a political satire, where like the opening of it is just two guys debating with a news person in the center about whether or not there was actually a government revolt. Against, you know, and it's really kind of goofy and stupid and funny. So if anybody wants to laugh at a pretty funny Romanian film, put 1208 East of Bucharest on your Netflix queue.
Wow, that's very sexy.
I don't know about that. next DVD, 12 Weeks Later, the sequel to 28 Days Later.
How many copies of this will you get?
12 Weeks Later. So it's only 12 weeks after 28 Days Later?
Yep, that's it. I just don't. It's so dumb. You know, it's just. It's 28 weeks later. It's 28 days. What, 28 Days Later was the, you know, original with Cillian Murphy, as I learned is his name.
So it's 28 days. This is 28 weeks?
No, it's 32 weeks.
It's 28 and months a half. Later. I want to see 28 years later where all the rage zombies are around, but they have flying cars and laser guns. Awesome!
Awesome!
Oh, my God, I can't wait. I just freaked myself out. I want to see that movie.
Zombies.
I'm going to buy you at least four copies of it.
Okay, picture. Close your eyes. Picture this. Raid zombie jetpacks. Awesome!
And it would be cool because they wouldn't have to wear, like, fire retardant suits. They'd just burn
their legs.
Their
legs are all on fire.
Oh my God! I want to see this. Just like oh crap.
They could have death rays. The death ray. So yeah, 28 weeks later,
we got to pitch this to Danny Boyle. Man,
should be pretty interesting to people that have.
You know what? It looked really good to me. The trailers, I thought it looked good.
Hey, as long as it uses that song from. 28 Days Later, it's got to be good.
You know it, man. What is that song called?
In the house or something. It's in that. It's when one of those last scenes in the movie.
Yeah, it's.
But it's used in every trailer possible.
I see. Now. It's on every. What is that? Every single Beowulf trailer. Bill, Steven, you would know it if you heard it. It's like.
Yeah, it's the new Lux Aeterna, the song that was used from. God, what was that movie called? It's killing me. The one with Jennifer Connelly, she was a heroin addict. Requiem?
Yeah, Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, that was what that song was in.
Yeah, that's what it's originally from.
Everything.
Right? It's in every trailer. I think it was it. I think somebody said it was in the Alien, the new Alien Requiem.
Really?
What is it called? The official Alien versus Predator movie is called what?
Shit?
It's called Requiem for a Predator. I don't know. I can't remember the name of it.
Let's enjoy this moody music.
Yes.
I'm scared. I'm scared of Robert Carlyle.
All right, Bill, what other DVDs are coming out?
Next DVD is Ben 10, Season 2.
That's a cool cartoon. Fun,
yeah, it's a really fun cartoon. Can you stop with that music? It's distracting me. It makes me think of people that have been infected by the virus.
Rage zombies.
They're not zombies.
No,
don't use that
because they're still alive. They're not undead.
I don't know.
I loved how they made fun of that in Shaun of the Dead. Don't use that word.
The Zed word.
So, Ben 10 Season 2, really fun cartoon. You know, it's for kids, but I enjoy it. I watch it anytime it's on. You know, alien stuff. Alien stuff is cool. AVP Requiem. Oh, okay. Nuh-uh. So your wife had it right.
Nice.
Black Sheep Unrated. This is that film from New Zealand about the zombie sheep.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This looks kind of like funny, but it almost like it's a funny joke, but can I watch a whole movie with the joke? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like killer sheep.
Yeah, it's like it's
want to eat people.
Kind of like Meet the Feebles. Seems like a good idea at first until you sit.
But also, the whole sheep thing. That's a total New Zealand thing. The sheep.
Yeah,
like people over here would be like, sheep? What?
Zombie sheep?
Yeah. What?
I think I'm a little insulted.
Now, Steven, how far did you get into Meet the Feebles? Did you finish it?
No.
What about you, Bill? Have you seen the whole thing?
Yeah, I actually own it on DVD.
I do, too.
Peter Jackson's Meet the Feebles. Wow.
I have all his early films. I love Meet the Feebles.
Meet the Feebles. That's a disturbing...
I think that was kind of like inspiration for like Greg the Bunny and stuff like that. Anything that involves puppets.
It just seems like guys, creative guys, sitting around getting drunk one night and they're like, you know what we ought to do, man? Let's make a puppet movie, but it's raunchy, it's trippy, man. And they do it, and they never stop. They finish the movie. It just seems like an idea that you couldn't finish.
Like, what the hell just happened?
Like, what are we doing, man?
maybe Peter Jackson could do, like, the R-rated version of Muppets Take Manhattan, where, like, Piggy becomes a prostitute, and even Sesame Street people show up, like Grover. Grover's the pimp.
I'm going to say, she could be working one of those booths, those dancing booths downtown.
And of course, Kermit's a heroin addict.
Oh, poor Kermit.
Hi-ho.
All right, Bill, what other DVDs we got?
Well, this is really important. This one goes out to Andy at the Hollywood Saloon. 1974's Emmanuel.
Mm. Ah, what's that?
Oh, come on.
I'm playing
seriously?
Down, Bill. Just go on.
Seriously. This is the classic Skinamax movie, man.
What? It was made in 74?
You know, like young girl, wife of the French diplomat.
When this movie first came out in theaters, what was it, 74? Was it rated what?
It would have had to have been rated R or not rated. You know, or like X.
Could have been X, the single X.
Because now it's probably what, really tame?
It's an NC-17 maybe.
Isn't it funny when you think about it now that Showgirls was rated NC-17? It's like, have you seen the movie? What, were they kidding me? What?
I know. It's so tame compared to anything nowadays.
What?
I mean, there's no, like, full, like, male crotch shots or anything.
There's
and
nothing.
It's all just,
there's nothing compared to now.
It's boobs with lipstick on them.
Hairy balls.
I know what these
hairy
are
balls.
These?
Then they're called hairy
no,
balls.
No, there's none of that.
Hairy balls.
Come on. You're going to make our show rated NC-17.
Martha loves her hairy balls. Next DVD is Evan Almighty with the director of Bruce Almighty, Tom Shadyac. I think Steve Odekirk wrote this also.
Tom Shadyac. How do you
Shadyac, Shadyac, Mad Max.
Did this movie look like the most unfunny movie ever?
Yes. Like, they would do the animal action shots with, like, the monkey that covers his eyes.
You gotta have, meet your new partner.
Wipeout. Little top dog action.
I'd rather watch Top Dog than Evan Almighty with Chuck Norris. What do you guys
say? Oh, totally. Chuck Norris trumps anything.
You know, hey, that dog, he's a good cop. So people keep telling me.
That dog's a hero.
He's a real hero.
So I keep being told.
You know what's funny is Delta Force was on in HD last night. And I was just watching. There's a part where he's on a motorcycle that is like loaded up with machine guns on the front of it, and it's got like what do you call the things you stick? You drop the grenade
rocket
in the tube, and it goes boom, and goes.
Yeah, rocket-propelled grenade.
But it's like a mortar.
A mortar.
He's got mortars on the back. And it's so close to his ass when he launches them, it almost looks like he's going and launching the grenades out of his ass.
Seriously, they had to cover it up with the mortar because he actually does blow grenades out of his ass.
That's what it looks like. He turns around.
That's how he has to take craps in like gigantic lakes because if he hit the toilet, it would explode.
That was a genius move. I was like, poor Lee Marvin. What is he doing? But that's what you got to love about Canon Films. If they wanted any of those veteran actors, they threw money at him.
Oh, but yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to be
in
this
piece of crap. And the veteran actors, they couldn't go like, no, I'm so much better than that. I won't appear in that.
I think this change of mind, Lee Marvin. $12 million. Okay, I'll do Delta Force. If you want to pay me that much, I'll do it. I'll do that piece
of
crap.
We'll make it back in VHS sales.
VHS?
I think my favorite Canon films, though, were like the Missing in Action series.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And Invasion USA.
Death Wish 3 is still my favorite, though.
Oh, my God. Death Wish 3 is the best movie ever.
It is.
I'm telling you, we are going to sponsor a screening of Death Wish 3 with Paul Kersey's corpse. And people.
No, we need to get the guy who played Fracker there.
Yeah, O'Herlihy. We need to get him. We also need to get
the Giggler.
Yeah, I don't know. Who else? Oh, Alex Winter. We got to get Alex Winter.
Alex Winter.
They killed the Giggler, man.
We need to do a commentary to Death Wish 3. But it would be horrible because we'd just be laughing throughout the commentary.
I know.
We wouldn't even be talking.
Know, we would. We would have to watch it over and over again to write lines for it.
Be awesome.
What? All right,
the DVD next is Family Ties, the second season. So
yes.
Again, check out Tina Yuthers in her ugly childhood best.
Justine Bateman, Alex P. Keaton, and yo, Nick.
Yeah, I remember.
Stallone.
I think this is when Meredith Baxter was Meredith Baxter Burney.
Yes, before she went.
Before she did My Breasts. The every time I see Family Ties, I think My Breasts, that movie, that TV movie she did where she whipped those suckers out.
Was it about breast cancer?
Yeah, it was. Yet it was hilarious.
It's a serious subject.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it was Meredith Baxter Burney on television whipping out her boobs.
I'm craving some
like, this is really important. Look
hot,
at my gigantic
hot
boobs.
Hot pizza.
We do not need some hot pizza.
Hot pizza. Like Hot Carl. Film crew.
I don't know.
Man, they're cranking these DVDs out. There's a new film crew thing every week.
Well, you know what? It's so sad about this is these guys are ripping out these film crew DVDs, and also they're doing so many of these riff tracks that quality is majorly suffering.
Watch out for snakes.
Like,
They just did Indiana Jones in a Raiders of the
Why
Lost Ark.
Why are they riffing on Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark?
I don't want to sit there and listen to them make fun of it because I know exactly what they're going to say.
They're going to do German voices for the Nazis.
Yeah, and then they're going to be like, oh, look, his face is melting. You know, something witty, and it just, no. Thanks.
I love those guys, but what are they doing?
I don't know. I really don't know.
They can do
I think
it for
they're way
the
in
first
over their
Star
head.
Wars.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did the prequels.
They've done all the prequels, prequels now. Yeah. But they're doing stuff like they're going to do Spider-Man next.
Those guys, it's like they have no respect. Where's your respect?
No, here's what I think, Bill. The
what?
Money is rolling in.
We're going
to
cannot
is.
Believe how successful this Rift Tracks thing is. It is like hotcakes, man.
MST3 Scarface.
They just will spend so much money on this stuff.
I think they're doing movies that they know everyone owns the DVD, so they can just download it instantly. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
oh,
but now they have like deals with like Netflix and other DVD sellers, so that if you click on the link, you can get like a discount on it.
Wow!
And,
hey,
if you go on Netflix right now and choose Indiana Jones, I bet you there will be at least a short to long wait on it because of all the people that are renting it so that they can do the riff tracks.
Well, I guess more power to them. I mean, you know.
Yeah. But anyways, this film crew
Big
TV.
Smile.
I just wish they would pick better movies is all we're saying, right, Bill?
Well, yeah, it's like this. The film crew DVD is the giant of Marathon, which is, you know, a typical MST3K type film. I'm definitely. I always say that I want to check these out, and I never do. So I'll just not even say I'm gonna check it out.
You know what? Some of those you can watch on Netflix online on your PC, and I'm gonna check them out. See if I laugh.
Yeah, I did that with. I had a free one, and I did Lady Hawk because I felt like watching it.
Ah, Dick Donner's Lady Hawk.
Which is a fun
Steelers.
Movie, actually.
It is. It's not a bad thing.
And isn't that's pre Matthew Broderick killing his person with a car, right?
Ooh, yeah. But, you know, Rutger Hauer, before he went kind of weird and started sailing boats around the world and forgot about acting. But
it's
he
like
came back. He was great.
Raindrops on my head. Something.
I watched sea beams glisten.
Raindrops keep falling on my head.
Yeah, that's what Roy Batty says in Blade Runner. Raindrops keep falling on my head. Just Deckard's like, what? By the way, I'm a replicant, you know? So
who the hell are you, B.J. Thomas?
Hey, I just figured it out. The reason Batty doesn't kill Rick Deckard at the end of Blade Runner, he's a replicant too. So says Ridley Scott. Let's
yeah,
not
Ridley
get into
Scott's
that.
An idiot.
Let's not even get into that. Wow.
Keep making your films and shut up. So this one kind of caught my eye. It's called Holla. It's So I'll just read the synopsis here because it's called Holla. It's Monica St. John, star of the popular sitcom Baby Girl, G-U-R-L, and her friends head for a weekend escape at a remote cabin in the mountains. Uh-oh. Along the way, they pick up a few unwanted stragglers, including the starlet's boyfriend's
Never stop for
cousin.
Stragglers, damn it! No, you never knew that!
And her agent, hoping to convince her to renew her contract,
her
when
agent?
A severe storm moves in and cuts off the power, it becomes a free-for-all of accusations and suspicions as the bodies start to mount. One by one, the friends are being murdered. Is it the ex-con cousin? Or the angry agent? Or is there someone else in the house they don't know about? Oh, my God.
And it's
God.
Called Holla.
Holla. Holla! And it's this guy making this screaming face on the front, and it says, "Don't run, haul ass, holla." Get it? Haul ass. Wow.
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 Yeah. Holla.
I don't know.
The 1923 version of The Hunchback of Notre Dame. The Lon Chaney version, if you're like a silent film fan, might want to check that out. Image Entertainment. I normally just watch those on like TMC in the middle of the night.
I'm beating him! I'm beating him! I'm beating him!
Leave that hunchback alone!
Not game anymore, Dougie.
I wish Dougie would lay off the hunchbacks. It's really awful.
You're a drunk ass, stupid slut.
It's so funny. Ever since I mentioned Emmanuel in the chat room,
Andy is talking about all the 80s Showtime at Night movies. The Slutty Cheerleaders, Fudge High Falcons, good lord, The Happy Hooker. Guys, it's embarrassing at this point. Calm down. Surf's Up, special
edition. I painted
with
the little face and I painted the eyebrow.
Surf's Up is that animated film about the surfing penguin with Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, yeah.
Which is cool about this movie is that it's not so concentrated on the animation. The movie was basically all improv'd.
Really?
Which is really cool. Everyone was in the studio at the same time, and they played off one another. They had a basic outline of the script, but the entire movie is basically improv'd.
Wow,
Then they worked on the animation later.
That's cool. So basically it's like a Christopher Guest movie, but animation.
Yeah, and it's like it's done in documentary style. Like somebody's following this kid into a competition, or this kid penguin into a surfing competition, and there's questions with his family and questions with other people, and it's a really fun movie. I can't recommend it enough. And of course, you have John Heder in it as the stoner character.
He's good.
Just, hey, man. I'm sorry, Roadblock. I don't want a body massage right now.
Freaking idiot.
But I would like a pork chop sandwich.
Let go of me. I think you're bruising my neck, mate.
Fensler Films rock. Okay, so that's Surf's Up. Meerkat Manor Season 1.
I love that show.
You know what I just heard? That Flower, the head meerkat on that show, is dead. I know, she died. That's horrible. She got died from some sort of snake.
Why are you doing this to me, Bill? I watch that show, and the one where the little guy gets bit by the snake, I was like, I gotta turn it. I can't turn it. I gotta watch this. And it's just like... The show really gets you into it, and you feel sorry for those little guys. You just
I can't watch it because they're too adorable.
I want to go out
there. They're too damn adorable.
I want to go out there and pet them, the poor little guys.
And then they'll bite your eyes out.
They'll give me rabies.
Yeah, I know.
Just bring them home.
Hey, little guy, chomp! Oh, you little bastard!
next DVD is Michael Palin, Pole to Pole. I love these series that Michael Palin does for BBC and PBS, where like he did Around the World in 80 Days and a couple other ones. But I just find the guy so interesting. He's like a character, and he loves to travel. And, you know, you got to love him from the Monty Python days. So Michael Palin, Pole to Pole.
Hey, Bill, what channel does that show come on, those Michael Palin shows? Is it the Travel Channel usually?
No, normally it's either PBS or BBC America or, you know, I've never seen him on the Travel Channel.
I want to see this in HD because... he gets to a lot of beautiful places.
He really does. I would love to see his series in HD.
What I think is that crazy is they go, there's these villages that seem cut off from the rest of the world. They're really not. They expect tourists there, but they seem so quaint and quiet, and they just look incredible. It's so cool.
That's really cool.
What's that show on HD Net, Bill, where the European travels guy, you know what I'm talking about?
Rudy Maxa. Or that other guy, the geeky guy with the glasses.
I think it's the other guy, the geeky guy. I can't
remember. Okay, yeah. I can't remember his name.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and he's really informative, and I love watching those. Like, he did one where he went to this German village off the Blue Danube, and it was just gorgeous. Like, you watch those shows and go, you know what, that's really pretty, but it just makes you want to go there even more. Travel the world. It would be so cool. Next DVD is probably one that a lot of people want to get. It's Poltergeist 25th Anniversary Edition.
Ooh.
You believe it's been 25 years since Poltergeist came out?
That's crazy.
That is crazy, man.
What? You know, aren't they also releasing this back in a theater for like a weekend or something?
They may be. I really don't know. You would know better than I would. I just read the DVDs.
I can't get past... I love that movie as a kid, and it scared the crap out of me, but I can't get past that all the kids from the movie died. It's just sad.
Yeah. Your wife just got it. Rick Steves is the guy on HDNet.
It's funny. I remember Rudy Maxa because he always wears those horrible sweaters, and then he ties them around his neck or, you know, whenever he's going somewhere. And I always think, you pretentious bastard.
That's
tying
a
freaking
thing.
Sweater around your neck. Next DVD is Rain Over Me. Adam Sandler, Don Cheadle, Mike Binder. I watched Futurama too much.
Have you seen this, Bill?
No, I haven't, but it looked good from the trailers. And I always like Mike Binder's stuff, so I'm definitely going to rent it. The one thing that appealed to me was they actually use a really great PlayStation 2 game in the movie to like kind of narrate the story. It's like it's a big part of the story. It's called Shadow of Colossus.
Really?
It's a really great game, but
yeah,
I just thought
that
it was so cool that it's...
That's such an original game, too.
Yeah, and it's such a huge part of the movie, I guess.
Really?
So it's, yeah.
Huh. I'm definitely going to Netflix that.
Yeah, like the Adam Sandler character uses Shadow of Colossus to, like, escape from his, you know, dreary life.
I guess they didn't have SWG for the movie, because that's
no.
The way we escape.
Or Halo 3. That's the way I've been escaping.
What is the deal with my life?
Yeah,
oh,
poor Adam Sandler.
Somebody's upset. This next DVD kind of weird. It's called Rise, Blood Hunter, and I think it has Lucy Liu and Carla Gugino in it.
Really?
And Robert Forster.
What is it?
It's some vampire flick. Unrated, undead.
Something tells me it's bad.
Yeah, Sebastian Gutierrez. I think it's straight to video, which is kind of like a friggin' signal flare for awful.
That system probably contains a new data encryption algorithm.
I don't know about that there, buddy. Now, this is really important. If anybody has ever wanted to be named Toby, but was named Kunta Kente,
oh, God.
Roots. Your name is Toby.
Don't see the point.
Roots, the complete collection. So, if you want to get your slavery epic on, 10 discs of pure American Civil War slavery stories.
That was so bad. I remember when that was airing on TV when I was like in elementary school or something, and everybody had a "Your name is Toby" joke.
That was, oh, really?
Yeah, everyone's like, "Your name is Toby." That was. Do you remember that, Steven?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was too young to even bother watching it.
I don't think Steven is doing these things as a personal affront to me.
I'm not, really.
It's good to know, Steven. Good stuff.
Next DVD is Twilight Zone, the movie. So, whoopee.
Got some mixed feelings about this.
Yeah, watch what's-his-name get killed with a helicopter blade.
Okay.
Yeah, luckily they cut that part out of the movie. But you know what? Best part, George Miller... John Lithgow, there's something out on the wing. That's the best part of that whole movie. It's awesome.
And that's what the cover is. That's what the cover of the DVD is.
There is a fantastic scene
I think we covered this a couple weeks ago, and it was delayed. So.
Yeah. But there's a fantastic scene where he sees something out on the wing ripping the engine apart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he closes the shade, and he wants to look. He just wants to – the camera keeps showing that shade. He wants to open it and look out there again. And it's like long, long time of him wanting to, all this tension building, the camera angles, the music, and finally he opens it and the creature's right there in the face. And it's just like, oh, it's yeah, the whole theater, everyone jumps. It's just so good. It's so awesome. I want George Miller to make another movie,
best
please.
Part.
Yeah, JLA, Justice League.
Yeah, there were good parts.
Yeah, not the poor Scat Man. Kick the can! Spielberg's thing makes me want to go out and shoot
Scat
people.
Scat Man Carruthers!
I want to climb a tower and start picking people off when I watch it. Kick the can! It's all about... It's basically...
Kick the can!
It's basically Cocoon is what that...
Yeah, it is.
It's so bad. Jeez.
That is one big pile of shit.
Exactly, Jeff Goldblum.
He made me laugh so hard my headphones set fell off. I was like, what? That was one big pile of shit. And that's so right to play that line from a Steven Spielberg movie.
I just always
Steven Spielberg movie.
I kicked a can. I was just like, oh! I'm like a cynical 10-year-old. This is a pile of shit.
I've been scrubbing real hard.
That's and then the bad TV one, you know, where the Billy
Mummy
remake.
Oh, yeah, with the little
remake.
Kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Joe Dante's a talented guy, but that thing, you just want to bitch slap that little
kid. He's a self-indulgent fool. You know, he can make some really great stuff, but also, he just...
He's also rude on commentaries.
Yeah, poor Zach, what's his name?
Zach Galligan. No one wants to hear that story.
Zach Galifianakis.
You know, I'm going to make a clip of that commentary to play on the lunchtime show, Bill.
No one wants to hear that story.
No one wants to hear that clip either.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, I'm
going to... You should pull that, or I will.
I'm going to pull it, but right when I'm about to play it, go, no one wants to hear that. And it just, like, 12-minute pause. No sound.
That's really funny. Okay, Steven, this is for you. YouTube Pop Mart Live in Mexico City, Deluxe Edition.
Wow.
I've already got that. It's already coming
out. Bill,
yeah, but this is the Deluxe Edition, damn it.
Ah.
The Deluxe Edition. There's a plain edition and a deluxe
edition. Hey, Bill, I'm watching the clock, and we don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, I got two DVDs left. Wrong Turn 2, Dead End, which is a direct-to-video.
Wrong Turn 2? They made a sequel?
Yeah. It's a direct-to-video slasher, but it's actually gotten really good reviews on all the horror sites.
Nice.
And it's got Henry Rollins in it, so, you know.
Okay.
Hey. And last one is movie that got royally panned by everyone, You Kill Me, with Dennis Farina, Taye Leone, Ben Kingsley, Philip Baker Hall.
Wow. Don't even
which
know
I have no idea what it's about. I know the Weinstein Company put it out and everyone hated it. So there you go. That's DVDs for October 9th, 2007.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And scene.
Yeah, you got to speed this up so Nocturnal Missions can get on the air. I can't wait.
It's getting hot in her. All right, everybody, that was episode 96 of Nowhere Mulberry. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being in the chat room, nimchat.com. Also, go to nowheremulberry.com. You can find links to all of our shows. Write to nimpodcast@gmail.com. We would really like that, like to hear from you. Go to our forum, linked on nowheremulberry.com. Talk about this episode or any other episode. Just talk to us. We want friends. We love you. Right, Bill? We love them.
We love everyone. Except, well, no, we love Mormons.
Yeah. Because
they have magic underpants.
I love Scientologists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, all of them. Buddhists, all of them. Everyone.
I would give my blood to a Jehovah's Witness.
And if you'd like to call and leave a voicemail, call 1-206-202-3491. It's better sound quality than our Skype number, so don't do that again.
Our Skype number.
All right, everybody, tune in to the Lunchtime Show, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, 12 p.m. Central. Have a good one. We love you, right, Steven?
We do.
Much love.
And we love Nocturnal Emissions.
Yes, thank you.
I found that they're really good for just white noise in the background.
White noise.
Making friends, influencing people. Oh, you Dinasha loves us too.
Tee-hee.
That was scary. I should never tee-hee again, Steven.
Don't ever do it.
Don't ever tee-hee.
I will.
That tee-hee's gonna give me nightmares.
I'll get up and leave next time.
Sorry, I didn't mean to give you nightmares, Steven.
Nuh-uh.
Uh-huh.
Now this is podcasting.
Ha 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 ha!